time to talk business. Inc. Radio. Real stories, real solutions. Inc. Magazine has the knowledge and experience to help you grow your business and stay ahead of the competition. This is Inc. Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
He's right. Real stories, real solutions. This magazine that we work with, Inc. Magazine, is the magazine for growing companies. We want to help you grow yours, or we want to help you take that leap into becoming the entrepreneur that is locked up inside. I am Alan Taylor. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a serial entrepreneur. It came to me one day that I just have to be who I am and work for myself. And, you know, whether it's because I'm stubborn, whether it's because I don't have the education that I thought it would take to do anything else other than, you know, just buy and sell and be the guy that I am and let it evolve over the 56 years now that I am. But I have been very fortunate and very blessed to end up with the greatest magazine that helps people to do exactly what I did, which is to find myself through business. And I love it. I love what I do. So if you like that, then welcome to our show. Welcome to the magazine. Welcome to Inc. Media. Inc. Magazine on newsstands everywhere. Inc.com, an amazing resource for anybody that is looking to be in business for themselves. That way they're not by themselves, right? Our first guest today, his name is Ryan Devlin, and you may know that name because he's been on many television shows like Jane the Virgin, Brothers and Sisters, and Veronica Mars. And when he's not in the office and traveling the world for his newest project, This Bar Saves Lives, and it has nothing to do with a bar where you go drink, it's a nutrition bar, Ryan Devlin hosts the MTV dating show Are You the One? Ryan, so welcome to the show, and I love your story of what you're doing now, and I'm going to let you tell it because you'll tell it a heck of a lot better than me, but it started in 2013. Let's take it from when you traveled to Africa on a humanitarian trip. What did you see, and how did it change your life?
Well, thank you, Alan. It's just awesome to be here, so I appreciate you giving me the opportunity here. And you know, it's to your intro there, it was kind of a winding path to get me to today, but I think everybody's got a bit of a winding path. And so, you know, my background is as an actor and as a TV host, though I studied business at school. And through my acting and just my relationships out here kind of in Los Angeles and the Hollywood biz, a buddy and I, who's also an actor, were approached to help out with this village in Liberia, kind of a remote village. They needed a bridge to be built. And so we, you know, reached out to our communities. We raised some funds. We got the money together to help this village build this bridge, and we wanted to follow through on that. So we took this trip to Liberia to help oversee the completion of that project. And it's while we were there that we just, on a kind of on a side trip, toured some refugee clinics and saw children that were being treated for severe acute malnutrition. This is kind of like, you know, the most dire effects of hunger. It's the wasting away. It's, you know, very close to death. Really hard stuff to see. Hard to see, you know, in photos or on television, but certainly an impactful experience when you're there. Really sad. However, while we were there, we talked to the doctors and the nurses of the clinics, and we said, look, we want to do something. What can we do? And they said, you know what? It's really simple. There's this food aid, and they held up this packet. It's called Plumpy Nut. It's kind of like a peanut butter paste. It's fortified with micronutrients, and, you know, it's like a high-calorie medical treatment to help get these kids back on track. And they said, look, we just need more of this. If you can get us more of this, we can help more kids. And so that's, you know, that stuck with us. I mean, this is something that Anderson Cooper profiled in 60 Minutes. We knew of Plumpy Nut. We knew the benefits that it could have on lives around the world. And so we decided that, you know, we wanted to build a model to get more of this food aid to kids in need. And instead of start a charity where we would be asking people for money, and there are great charities out there, but instead of doing that, we looked at the trends that were happening in the impact world at companies like Warby Parker or Tom's Shoes. I'm a huge fan of Newman's Own. I've done a lot of work with their camps and what Paul Newman built there with Product for Good. And so we decided to build a company around that. And so that's what kicked off This Bar Saves Lives. It's a very simple concept. For every bar sold, we give life-saving food to a child in need around the world. And we launched back in 2013 and have been growing like a rocket ever since.
All right, you hang tight. We're talking with Ryan Devlin. This bar saves lives. It is a snack bar, you might say, that can save lives. And like Tom's Shoes, by the way, Tom's Shoes, if you don't know, they have given away 10 million pairs of shoes to needy children. It's called the One for One program, and that's what we're talking about here with Ryan Devlin. And it's a for-profit business versus a charity, because you don't hear too much about fast-growing charities. And especially with Inc., we talk about fast-growing businesses. And we're going to find out a little bit more about what Ryan is doing. And if you like it, we'll be right back and talk more. So stay with us. It's Inc. Radio. Sleep on that, 'cause I've got a plan. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, you're listening to Inc. Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're talking with Ryan Devlin. He is co-founder and CEO of This Bar Saves Lives, and you can just put .com on the end of that. Our show is brought to you in part by Benetrends, and if you need funding to purchase a business, trust the experts with over 30 years' experience providing funding for the life of a business. Benetrends Financial, Benetrends.com. So, co-founder of the Simple and Delicious Snack Bar, I've not tasted it yet, but I can't wait to. It is called This Bar Saves Lives. For every bar sold, he and his partners provide a life-saving food to children in need. And we have him on the line right now, Ryan Devlin. First of all, thank you. I love this kind of stuff, and I also love that you set out to start a charity that is a kind of a charity, but it's a for-profit charity. In other words, you're doing good things with it. You're not seeking donations, because that is like the slowest moving, you know, thing, unless you have money to begin with and money to burn through and or some, you know, of course you are a celebrity, but a lot of celebrities to do your bidding for you. You looked at this as a business opportunity that could do good. God bless you for that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And you know what? It's just the future of all business. I mean, in my humble opinion, but I mean, the trends are out there. I feel like more and more the consumers who are now coming up and will wield incredible purchase power are demanding that the companies that they deal with offer an impact beyond just what you're getting in your product. And we all want great products. And by the way, it starts with that. I mean, we spent 2 years working on our bars knowing that, like Newman said when he started Newman's Own, you know, everybody's going to buy my dressing once because my face is on it, but they'll only buy it again if it's good.
That's right.
And so we focused on product for years, knowing that we needed a hell of a product. But the social impact tie-in is one that I think we're going to see more and more of, because it's just a great way to not only connect with your customers and create zealots and brand ambassadors from your customers, but also to break through the noise. And when you're talking about a company like This Bar Saves Lives, and we started it, you know, tiny out of one of the co-founders' apartments here in Los Angeles, you need to find a way to break through that noise. And calling yourself This Bar Saves Lives is one of those ways, but also having a strong, trackable, measurable impact is something that, while we give away money, we've actually been able to grow far faster than we would have if we had just been some really tasty snack bar. So the one helps the other. And, I think that it's an important point to kind of wrap your head around. Like, giving away a significant portion of profits to a charitable cause, and we work with great impact partners, great charity partners, but giving away that means that we don't have any budget whatsoever for advertising, for example. So, you know, what normal companies might be spending in advertising or any number of other marketing expenses, we have a give back mission, a social impact mission, and that's allowed us to get onto shelves faster and to become people's favorite products faster, and to tell a great story with our customers. So I'm really proud of the model that we've built and also the impact that we're having.
So, and how long ago did you launch this company?
Well, we launched in mid-2013, but it was super deliberate. It was a very slow kind of like grassroots launch. We were testing products. We went out to like really local like coffee shops and natural food stores around our offices in Venice, California. And I would say 2014 was kind of our first real year of operation. That's when we started going out and landing accounts like Whole Foods. And you know, we started getting into Google campuses and doing things with coffee shops. And, you know, here we are in mid-2016, and we just crossed 1 million packets of life-saving food donated. It's enough food aid to help save 8,000 lives. And we're expanding into every single Starbucks in California and on the West Coast. With Whole Foods, we're in half the Target stores around the country. So it's kind of a hockey stick curve for us right now.
God, I love this, man. This is so cool. All right, when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about the business and some of the lessons that you guys have learned at this barsaveslives.com. And it doesn't mean that, you know, it's a bar where they save your life by taking your keys away from you. No, this is a nutrition bar, everybody. Get your head on straight. That's the first thing I thought, whoa, we didn't let them drive after they... No, that's a different kind of bar. All right, we'll take a little break. We're talking with Ryan Devlin. You're listening to Inc. Radio. I love it. For profit, but with a good soul and a heart. And the do-good, the warm and good feeling about doing something like this. I dig it. I want to help. We'll be right back. It's Inc. Radio. In the state of Indiana, she's a runner, rebel, and a stunner. From them everywhere saying, baby, what you gonna? Looking down the barrel. Small business comes in all shapes and sizes. Your financing option should too. Benetrends Financial offers a full suite of small business and franchise funding options to help entrepreneurs like you get the best funding options possible, quickly, safely, and economically, so you can finally purchase the business of your dreams. Sign up for a free funding consultation today, and we'll design a customized funding plan for you. Visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com to find out more. Benetrends. Listening to Inc. Radio, don't forget you can check out Inc.com, INC.com. No, it's not a tattoo show. INK would be tattoos. INC is business. Inc. Media. Inc. Magazine on newsstands everywhere. This is Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Our guest right now is Ryan Devlin. He's the co-founder of a simple and delicious snack bar called This Bar Saves Lives. And for every bar sold, he and his partners provide life-saving food to children in need around the world, which I think is beautiful. But they set out to have a for-profit company, and that's what interests me most because, you know, you had to put a lot of soul-searching into that because when you were over in Africa there in 2013 and on that humanitarian trip, Ryan, you know, your heart was bleeding and you were like, oh, how can we do something here? And it's like you weren't greedy going, oh, I'm going to capitalize on this. No, you were more like the Tom's Shoes of the world. You know, 10 million needy children from Tom's have gotten pairs of shoes because other people would buy a pair of shoes knowing that that's going to provide a pair of shoes for some needy kid. And same with you guys. The name, This Bar Saves Lives. If I'm eating that, it better be saving lives as well as it better, like you said, it better taste good and be good and nutritious for me. So that must have taken a lot of thought. And I would love to hear some of your learnings from all this with you and your partners. Maybe you can share that with us.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, oh man, there were a lot of learnings. Let me tell you, you know, I'm an actor. All of us, in fact, that started the company were actors. And though I studied business and it was a focus on hospitality business with some supply chain in there and that kind of thing. I mean, you know, I had to dust that stuff off when we started this. But we knew that we had something special. Food for food. You know, our motto is we eat together. And there's something very communal about that. So it's easy to wrap your head around. However, there's right ways and wrong ways to do it. So we knew that this thing was going to be built on two pillars, a quality give back mission and quality food. And we set out before we launched, we had to have those things dialed. So we spent the better part of a year, over a year, in fact, lining up our giving partners. And those are 501c3, five-star charity navigator, philanthropic organizations like Save the Children, like Action Against Hunger. You know, these are companies that have been around that are doing good. So it took us a while to set up, you know, memorandums of understanding with them about our give back mission. Then we knew we had to have the best product. So we spent almost 2 years working up recipes in our kitchens at first, then with chefs and nutritionists and food scientists and kind of making our go-to-market strategy. And then we had the best, most delicious bar. And these bars are amazing. I mean, they're, you know, non-GMO project verified, gluten-free, fair trade. It's the best bar that you can snack on out there. And once we had those two pillars in place, then we said, okay, let's launch. But let's not be dummies about it. Let's launch slow. You know, we're in Hollywood. We probably could have launched huge. But then you make mistakes, and your mistakes are amplified. So, you know, we did a grassroots launch for 6 months, getting feedback, changing our recipes, getting out to market, testing our margins, you know, really being deliberate about how we rolled out, knowing that when we fully launched, that was when there's going to be a pretty big light shone on us. And so that's exactly what happened. We made a lot of mistakes, but, you know, we kind of followed the tech policy, Alan, where it's just kind of like fail fast. You know, I got an early piece of advice that was, you know, fire, aim, ready, which is just the obvious opposite of ready, aim, fire. And right. And it's one of those things where, like, if you overthink it, if you overformulate, then you're just going to ideate yourself to death. And so we put together a pretty rad, like, 5-page business plan. We went out and we did a small friends and family round. We got the money we needed to put the website together, get our partners in place, and we launched. We learned a ton. We made bad bars. We had bars that went bad. We, you know, we had issues with packaging. We lost accounts because we couldn't support them. You know, we made a lot of mistakes. And I think that's, you know, one of the pitfalls of being a cool company is a lot of people want you, but can you support them? And that was one of the big learnings that we had. And I'm still, you know, I still assess that every time we get a call from a huge partner and they say, hey, we want to put you in 8,000 stores. Instead of saying yes, like we used to do, we say, hold on, let's see if we can actually support this account. Can we get in there and promo and demo and spread the word? And can we even scale production? And so all of those learnings came in the first couple of years. And now, fortunately, we're growing like a rocket and expanding into Starbucks and Target and all the Google campuses across the country. And we got a robust workplace program and we're doing really well, but it's all built on kind of that early foundation of testing things while we were small, you know, before turning up the dial.
Mm, God, I love this. I love what you're doing. I love the fact that you guys have, you know, put so much thought and love into what you're doing and that there is something good that is coming out of it on top of the potential for profits and having a viable for-profit business that has a charitable humanitarian flavor to it and a goodness to it. So I hope that more people listening in this world will try and do the things that you guys are doing, and you guys are not setting the pace, because there are a lot, like we talked about Tom's Shoes a couple of times, you've named off a few other ones, but man, isn't it great that in this world that we live in, at least in the good old US of A, we can do these things and make a profit and feel good about getting up each day and going to work knowing that we're making money, feeding our families, but feeding those that are less fortunate than ourselves with this whole, you know, mantra of we eat together. I love that, and I want to support you 100%. I hope that anybody listening will go and visit the website, thisbarsaveslives.com. And Ryan Devlin, man, hats off to you guys. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate the opportunity. Love your show. Love the support from you. I mean, this is, I really do think it's the future of business. So I'm excited to just be a small part of it. And let's see what's to come our way. But I think it's going to be good things.
Nope, I agree. ThisBarSavesLives.com. Check it out. You're listening to Ink Radio. I'm all in. I'm going to start buying these every time I'm hungry. We'll be right back. It's Ink Radio. Hold them, let them hit me, raise it. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it. Well, our next guest is Terrence Mowry, author, entrepreneur, mentor, one of the Inc. magazine's top 100 speakers, and a columnist at Inc. And my friend Jeff Hayden, also one of the writers for Inc., one of my favorite writers, by the way, is, I guess he's involved or written something or said something nice about Terrence, because yes. It's right on the cover of your book, evidently. Welcome to the show, Terrence.
Hey, Alan. Great to be on the show.
Thank you, man. So, everybody, Terrence, he is the author of The Leader's Mindset, How to Win in the Age of Disruption. And he's also an entrepreneur mentor at the London Business School, and he's calling all the way from London. And you people with the British accent just sound smarter. I don't know what it is. It's just this, how it is. Anyway, so first of all, I've heard a lot of good things about you, Terrence.
Yeah.
Jeff Hayden, one of my favorite writers. One of my favorite guests to have on the show, by the way. He's such a regular guy.
Great guy.
You know, yeah. So tell us about your book just a little bit, The Leader's Mindset, How to Win in an Age of Disruption.
This book, in one sentence, is a survival guide for the future. I don't know about you, but the speed of change is truly breathtaking now. Even my two-year-old niece, I call her my CTO. That stands for Child Technology Officer. Most families have one. And, you know, she's so adept at connecting the iPhone to the iPad to the TV. And the point of the book is, how do you cut through the barrage of noise? How do you stay focused on what really matters? So the book is really there to act as a guide, a manual, a set of sort of like a cognitive toolbox, really, to help you thrive in this new age of disruption.
So I understand the book just came out. Where can people find it?
Just came out.
Yeah.
They can find it in bookstores, on Amazon, all the different online retailers. And so it's available around the world.
You know, I see that you're also a global authority on the age of disruption. And I don't know that everybody, now Inc. magazine is the magazine for growing companies. And there's a lot of people that listen to this radio show, that read the magazine, that delve into the website, inc.com, watch videos. But there's a lot of people out there that have jobs that kind of keep their nose to the grindstone. Workaday Joe, who just goes and he does his job, minds his own business, does what he's told. And when he hears us talking about the age of disruption, he scratches his head and he goes, well, what the hell does that mean? Maybe we could just start there. Who's disrupting what?
Yes. You know? Well, in very real human terms, it means four things: volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity. These are like four forces that create risk, but also opportunity. An example would be, it took the telephone 75 years to reach 100 million users. It took WhatsApp 3 years and Pokemon Go 1 week. So the speed of change is exciting, but also can be overwhelming. And this book is like, as I said, like a cognitive toolbox, like a survival guide to help you not just survive, but thrive in this new world of disruption.
Mm. It is really interesting. It's just like radio. Radio is the original form of social media, right? People get on there and say what they want to say, pretty much. And it's free, and the word spread. And it took forever, 100 years, you know, for radio to be, you know, it to be what it is, I guess. And, you know, all of a sudden, things like Facebook, like you were saying, you know, they eclipse. There's more people on Facebook every day than there is people listening to the radio around the world. They're interacting. And I don't know the reason why, but my feeling is that it offers all kinds of interesting, you know, personal, very personal thoughts from the person that they're friends with, in essence, whether it be a true friend or somebody they want to be friends with, an influencer, somebody they respect, somebody they hate, you know, like perhaps with the U.S. election. I know you're over in London, but, you know, there are people that, you know, perhaps they hate Hillary Clinton or hate Donald Trump, yet they'll like their Facebook page so they can watch, because they love to hate. They can watch what the other side is doing. You know,
it democratizes. It gives everybody a voice. It builds up communities. Yeah. And, you know, that's a basic human driver. We all want to feel a sense of belonging. We all want to be part of a posse.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or be able to be, a little voyeurism and watch what the other people are doing. Right.
Oh, we love that as well. You know? Exactly.
So yes. Here's my question for you, for those, you know, that are in business and, you know, they're starting a business, they're getting ready to take the journey, which is scarier than living hell and can be living hell. You know, maybe we could spend this next half hour talking about, you know, how they can be a leader and how does a leader think differently? You know, where do they draw that courage from to move forward? Of which, by the way, I must say, if I call myself a leader since I'm the head of my company, some people say, you're so courageous. And I go, I don't know. I think I'm so stupid half the time, because half the time people are saying to me, you're so stupid. What are you doing? And then when it becomes an accidental success, you know, which I think so much of life is luck. I don't know. You know, I mean.
Yes. Well, you know, key point here is that naivety can sometimes be a good thing. The second part of that is, you know, there's different mindsets that you need to build up. The first one is being a failure pioneer. That's testing ideas. That's making sure that you bounce back, because there are going to be disappointments and you're going to hit the dip at some point. You know, whether that dip is a cash crisis or running out of resources or not finding the right talent. Every entrepreneur I've met, every leader I've met, hits the dip.
Yeah.
And that dip can destroy you if you don't know how to get out of it.
It's interesting you call it a failure pioneer. And I remember when I learned how to ski and I caught my edge at about 25 miles an hour of my ski and I went head over heels. It was painful. But I was having fun. And since it wasn't connected to an outcome of profitability, I guess you might say, the only outcome I was looking for was to have fun. And sometimes, you know, learning can be fun. Falling is not always fun, but learning how to ski, I knew I would take a few falls. People are so afraid to catch an edge in business and go head over heels a couple times, which is sometimes what it takes. Like you said, a pioneer of failure.
I think this is where somebody like, you know, somebody whom I admire is Mike Hastings, CEO of Netflix. He is the apostle of disruption. He's somebody that has had to reinvent his business model at least three times already. He's seen his share price drop dramatically and then go back up again. But he's a guy with a vision. He's a guy with what I call Viking spirit. Sisu. Sisu is a Scandinavian word, and it means resilience, persistence, and grit. We all need more sisu.
This is awesome, dude. I am learning already. I'm writing these words down. I need to be able to get more sisu. I'm definitely a failure pioneer already. But hey, I fit in with the guys like Thomas Edison. I'm glad it doesn't take me 5,000 tries or 10,000 tries to do it.
That's a lot. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a guy with stick-to-itiveness. We're going to take a little break, everybody. We're talking with Terrence Mowry. He is the author of the book, The Leader's Mindset: How to Win in an Age of Disruption. This is Inc. Radio. We'll be right back.
On a Saturday, regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
Well, you're listening to Inc. Radio, our show brought to you in part by Crunch Fitness. Let your money work and work out for you if you like to work out. Let's see, Crunch Franchise. I happen to know the people at Crunch. Visit crunchfranchise.com and get in touch with a whole lot of awesome. This is a franchise that's growing like crazy. So if you love to work out and be in good shape, check out crunchfranchise.com. Our guest right now is the author of the book, The Leader's Mindset, How to Win in an Age of Disruption, Terrence Mowry. He is also a columnist for Inc. magazine, and he is one of Inc. magazine's top 100 speakers, as well as a friend of a lot of the folks that I happen to love over at Inc. magazine. And I now get to call you my friend. I can't wait to come visit you in London, Terrence.
Oh, Alan, please come soon. Yeah. Be happy to be your host.
Well, that would be awesome. I hope that I... Really? Okay. Well, that means I'm coming. Are you paying my ticket and everything? Oh, I'm getting my map out right now.
We'll expense it to ink.
There you go. Perfect. All right. Talking about all of this with you, this age of disruption, let's, for the sake of all of these folks that want to be an entrepreneur, that, I mean, I love the fact that you are also entrepreneur mentor at London Business School. So, I mean, I don't know anybody that would probably know how to help folks in the beginning to kind of break away and become an entrepreneur, be the CEO of the company that you want. But also you have to learn to be the CEO of yourself too, right, Terrence?
Well, this is the point. Even if you're not entrepreneurial or you don't want to be an entrepreneur, the fact is the speed of change, the level of disruption now in business, in life, you need to be the CEO of your own life. And there's a bit of urgency here. 960 months is 80 years of age. So if you do the math, 960 months is 80 years of age, or to be specific, 29,200 days. I don't want to depress our listeners, but there is some urgency there. We sleep for 300 months. So you've got to decide, what do you want to do with your 960 months?
Yeah.
It's so easy to waste time and waste energy on the wrong things, on the wrong people, on the wrong relationships. So this book is a wake-up call. What do you want to do with your time? Time well spent.
Mm. I love it because I was with my 20-year-old son just the other day, and we were driving back from Hollywood. We were at this mastermind business event called Unconscious Content. And I asked the guy, he's the founder of the Dollar Beard Club. His name is Chris Stoikos. He's 28 years old. I said, why did you call it unconscious content? He says, because people have so much content inside and they just need to wake up to the reality that if they just would let it flow and just let it out and stop, you know, worrying about what people think and what people say. And it's like this just flow out of him. Like I could. And I thought, man, this guy is unbridled. And, you know, so many people are harnessed. They, again, you know, I mean, you and I have had a couple conversations in the commercial breaks and before, but so many people are harnessed by the crap that has been downloaded into them, into their mind's computer. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and our parents and our friends and TV and, you know, but it does. It starts at school and that's happening more and more. People are waking up to this, don't you think?
They've got, I mean, it's got to the point where they've got no choice. And, you know, this, everybody needs like a double espresso for their mind. It's a wake up call. You've got this limited amount of time, as Steve Jobs said in one of his inspirational talks. And you've got to walk your why. What I mean by that is when you walk your why, you have a clear purpose.
Mm. I love it. You know, and I was talking about my son. He says to me, he's 20 years old. He says, Dad, I finally figure out what you do. And I go, what do you mean you figured out what I do? I'm a radio guy, right? He goes, no. He goes, it's more about doing radio. He says, you are a relationship guy. And I thought to myself, it's so interesting that he finally, at 20 years old, figured out that I love building relationships, right? Because then I have something to build upon. That's the foundation, is trust and honor and the things that you can build on top of, the foundation of anything. You build a house, you don't build it on sand. You build it on something strong, you know?
This is about legacy. It's about doing something today which your future self will thank you for. And, you know, this is what gets us up in the morning. It's about pride in what you do. It's about energy.
I love it. I love it. I'm playing Bohemian Rhapsody, and it's like they're saying exactly what you're saying in the background. It's too good. We're going to take one more break and talk more with Terrence Mowry. He's one of our writers at Inc. Magazine. Also, he is Inc. Magazine's one of their top 100 speakers and the author of the book, The Leader's Mindset, How to Win in an Age of Disruption. We'll be right back. It's Inc. Radio.
It's time to streamline your tools with the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt cordless system. One C3 battery helps your tool work longer and powers over 30 different tools like the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt hammer drill. The compact hammer drill pushes out up to 515 inch-pounds of torque to handle even your toughest drilling and driving projects. A Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck and an LED work light makes this hammer drill durable and versatile. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Well, I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Benetrends, Benetrends Financial. If you need funding to purchase a business, trust the experts with over 30 years' experience in providing funding for the life of a business. Benetrends. And we thank them. My friend Rocco Fiorentino is the president there. Terrence Mowry, he is on the line, author of the book, The Leader's Mindset, How to Win in the Age of Disruption. And Terrence's new book takes you on a deep dive into the hearts and minds of visionaries, risk takers, and pioneers, those who dare to give it a go, right? Terrence is with us, I want to talk about this with you a little bit here, about if those people listening are ready, they realize that they've been in this dead-end job for years, and they're ready to become the CEO of their life and the CEO of their company, how do they draw for strength to have a strong mind to be able to do this? Because it's going to take strength of character, strength of, you know, the mind itself, because the mind can be the one that, you know, causes you to doubt and then it's all over, right?
You've got to start with why. So you've got to start with a clear purpose, what energizes you, what excites you, move every fiber of your body in that direction. So it starts with really, what are your values? What are you excited about? What problem do you want to solve? So these are like fundamental questions that need to be answered. And if you've got a clear purpose, you know your why, and you live it on a daily basis with passion and courage, it's amazing what you can achieve. I met a 100-year-old lady last year when I was researching my book. And she celebrated her 100th birthday last year. She wanted to study English literature at university, but she had to put her dreams on hold. She went through the Great Depression. She went through the Second World War.
Wow.
At the age of 88, she decided to go back to university. She applied to university to do an English literature bachelor's degree. She got accepted. At the age of 91, she graduated. She was three times older than the professor.
Oh, my God.
Her 100th birthday, right. She said, I love learning. Learning keeps me alive. I'm going to do a parachute jump.
Oh, my God.
And I've actually got a video of this 100-year-old lady called Georgina doing a parachute jump. For me, any time I'm having a bad day or when my inner critic is in overdrive or I'm suffering from self-imposter syndrome, I think of Georgina. 100-year-old lady who didn't give up on her dreams, who lives her life at full capacity and celebrated her 100th birthday with a parachute jump.
I love it. I love the inner critic, by the way, because that's the voice of doubt. We'll call that inner critic, the voice of doubt. But you're right. You really, you know, focus. A lot of people are doing meditation these days in order to gain that focus, daily meditation. Do you subscribe any kind of meditation or anything?
For me, it's about unplugging. You know, Technology is great. I love technology, but it's sugary. It can be addictive. It can be very difficult to unplug. Your brain is always switched on. So you've got to unplug. You've got to have a digital detox or an information diet. You've got to go for a walk, get amongst nature, do something different. Otherwise, if you're always connected to the internet, if you're always switched on, you lose your clarity, you lose your focus. So it all starts with focus on focus. You've got to be able to unplug.
I agree. I agree 100% with Terrence Mowry. And his name, by the way, is also where you can find more about him on the web. Terrence, T-E-R-E-N-C-E, Mowry, M-A-U-R-I. It's like Maui, the island of Maui with an R in there.
Oh.
Yeah, I just figured that one out. How do you like that? The book, again, is The Leader's Mindset, How to Win in the Age of Disruption. And I can't wait to have you on again. And we'll, what we'll do is we'll have to pick some topics and dissect, you know, some. Well, what I'll do is every time I try to jump over the hurdle in my daily life, I'm going to go, oh, my God, I got to call my friend who's the entrepreneur mentor at the London School of Business there. And, you know, I mean, who better to be able to have mentor all of us through these than guys like you and men and women both that, you know, that are the writers of Inc. magazine. And the contributors, the Jeff Haydens, who, what did you say he wrote on the front of your book? He's one of your pals, right?
Oh, he very kindly wrote a fantastic testimonial for my book, which is right on the front of the book. I really respect Jeff's work, and he's, like you say, he's such a respected expert in his field. So he's right on the front of the book.
Nice. Well, these are my friends, and we can be your friends at Inc. Magazine, Inc. Media. It's time to go pick up the issue of Inc. Magazine. I'm afraid, I don't know if you can find one, Terrence, over there in London, but they're all over here in the U.S. at newsstands everywhere.
I'm coming over.
There you go, Inc.com on the web, and you can listen to more podcasts of our radio show at Inc.com. I'm Alan Taylor. Terrence Mowry, thank you very much for being on our show today.
Alan, it's been a pleasure.
All right. That's about it for this week. Now go pick up his book again. It is The Leader's Mindset, How to Win in the Age of Disruption. And I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week right here on Inc. Radio.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.